My name is Ed Frawley, and of course I own Learburg. This video, we just finished a project. It's one of the largest projects that we've done in many years, and it's a two-part project that we produced on training protection work with Michael Ellis.
Yeah, so is there a genetic component to that? Can it be passed on? The dog's ability to become active and their motivation level. So it's absolutely genetic. Always modifiable by environment. Right, so for me, in all aspects of the dog's personality, there is a range of possible expression for that trait, whatever it is. If it's desire to bite, it's play drive, it's confidence, it's whatever it is. There's a genetically defined range, and where the dog falls in that range is dictated by environment. So these are the possible limits, right? My dog is going to like to bite X amount. It could be this dog's, and this range is going to be genetically defined. Here's the bottom end if everything goes poorly, and here's the top end if everything goes perfectly. And the dog will land somewhere in here, depending on what kind of environment I provide for the dog, or how good a trainer I am, or whatever else it is. Right? So one dog's range could be here, and the other dog's range could be here, right? Genetically defined. But with this dog, who has a lower genetic potential, if he's with a good trainer, and this guy's with a bad trainer, he's better. Right? There's overlap in those ranges, but the ranges are basically defined. And training is just one piece of the environment. So everything that happens to a dog either reinforces, strengthens, or weakens some aspect of a genetic aspect of their personality. So if the first time I may have a puppy that has a very strong genetic prey drive, really wants to chase and bite things, but if the first time he expresses it when he's a puppy, I smack him in the head, I may extinguish it completely. I may have taken a dog that had a lot of genetic potential and stifled it completely. And some other dog that had a weaker expression, if every time it expressed, I nurtured it, then you see that dog later, and the dog looks very motivated to do those things. But his genetic initial response isn't. And it's always the interplay. And the interesting thing for me, and this is, I would guess, unquantifiable. I mean, there's no way for us to know how much of this happens. But you see lots of people that will say the dog with the strongest genetic tendency this way is the best dog. And what I tend to think is the dog who has a strong response but is more modifiable through training is the better dog. And people will argue the dog that you could just take out as a puppy, throw him in a kennel, come back out when he's a year old, take him out and he'll do something and he shows motivation is a better dog. But that dog was just better for that environment. We talked about that a little yesterday, right? Some dogs need social isolation. Some dogs thrive on it. Some dogs don't. For me, what I like to see in a dog is a dog that has a good genetic potential, means likes to chase things, likes to bite things. The genetic part's there. But I want to see them modifiable by training. I want to see when I start working with them, it gets better. You see puppies, and we see this all the time when we're testing puppies, you take the puppy with the strongest initial response. This puppy's the most assertive. He likes to bite the most. He likes to chase the most. And you have that puppy in one hand, and then you have another puppy over here. And this puppy just never gets any better. You train him, you go out and you do things, and that was it. He was showing you everything he got right from the beginning. And this other puppy, who didn't look so good, every time you do something with him, he gets better. And next thing you know, you see him 6 months down the road, and he's better than the other puppy. So which one was the better one? And that's it's like a debate. And how much of that? So there's a genetic component, but then some dogs are more flexible. They can improve more based on the environment. And some dogs are very much like they are and are hard to improve with training. It's fascinating. It's what makes dog training kind of interesting. But there is a huge. It's make picking puppies and picking young dogs to do protection sports or any kind of sport hard, because you don't know until you start training them which one.
I went out to California a number of years ago and I filmed this at Michael Ellis's school. Since then, a year and a half ago, Michael closed that school. So this two-week course, which I came back and we edited, I think we have close to 300 hours of editing time in putting this together. And there's 753 short videos in this course. And as I go along, I'm going to pull videos out of these 753 and release them on YouTube so that people can see the quality of information that we've put together here. If you're new to bite work, If you want to learn how to control your dogs in a very high level of anxiety, this is a course that's going to teach you an awful lot. If you're a professional dog trainer, and I don't care who you are as a professional dog trainer, you're going to learn something from this course. It is really, really good. But in the meantime, you can go to learburg.com and see all of the courses that we've produced since 1982. We've been in business for a long time. It's all we do. And there's good information for brand new dog trainers there.